Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer Jimmy Israel. He is with us from Lexington, Kentucky this week. Corey Dade, contributing editor for The Root, is with us from Philadelphia this week. Lenny McAllister is a Republican strategist and host of Get Right with Lenny McAllister on KDKA News Radio. He's with us from Pittsburgh. And from NPR West, film writer, actor, and producer Rick Nahara. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thank you, Michelle. Hey, fellas.
Hey,
welcome
Jim.
To the shop. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing.
What's up,
Jim?
Kentucky boy?
Yeah, well, you know what has happened? It's so weird. I'm actually, everybody knows I'm from Cleveland, right? But, you know, I'm actually in the studio where the barbershop was born, more or less. Remind me to sit you down one day over drinks and tell you that story.
Yeah, then Grandpa, okay. We want to hear it.
Yes. Right.
And about how you stuff newspaper in your shoes to walk to school. Tell us
exactly.
All.
Exactly.
Sounds like this is going to be a Kentucky bourbon story right here.
Right. Back in my day, I had to drive a Chrysler to work. But anyway, let's get it on. Let's continue the conversation we were just having. You know, police say Elliot Roger, a 22-year-old college student in Santa Barbara, went on a violent rampage last Friday that left 6 people dead and 13 wounded before he killed himself, Michelle.
And, you know, he left this very robust video and written manifesto, as he called it. And he said that, I think those of you who've been following this story know this, that he was seeking revenge on women who wouldn't pay attention to him and on guys who had better luck with women. And many of the people he was very angry at were... He was very angry at white women for rejecting him. He was very angry at blacks and Latinos, apparently, for he felt had more social success than he did. And it's important to note that he has been receiving some form of mental health counseling throughout his life. But there's been a lot of talk about some of the bigger issues that prompted this. And I just wanted to ask, since a lot of you, you know, you all are the people who work in the culture and help shape it. And I wanted to ask what your thoughts were about this.
Well,
do you want to start?
You know what? I'll jump in at great personal risk and say these hashtag conversations, I guess they're okay, but they're largely just testimony from the pews, in my opinion. You know, it's intellectual street ball with everybody kind of showing off their best handles. But, you know, when you get this kind of play in serious intellectual discourse, I'm not sure if it has any practical value. You know, I mean, whatever happened to just playing crazy, right? Why does it have to be Marilyn Manson's fault or, you know, or Steven Seagal's fault? Dude was crazy. And there's no amount of gun legislation, Oprah Chai, or hashtags that's going to make crazy people better people. What we need to do in this order, get your pens out, everybody, is parent our children, correct your friends, and keep an eye on the crazy cats that you hold outside of your crew. But all the rest of that, I'm not sure. You know, for me, I bowed out of those conversations because I also felt that was largely, you know, I've been in this game a minute. And when women are having conversations about sexual assault and this type of thing, it's better that men just listen and stay out. You know, and but I'm just not sure. Like I said, it just occurs to me as testimony from the pews. I'm not sure what exactly is going forward.
Well, I want to hear what the guys have to say, other guys have to say about this, but I don't know, how is it that men should stay out when, in large part, they're the ones doing the raping and the assaulting? I mean, I'm just saying, obviously, not all men, but why wouldn't men participate in those conversations? Well, go ahead, Rick. Go ahead. Do your thing.
No, I mean, I think men have to be in that conversation. I mean, it starts with the perpetrator who really is creating the victim and you know, and moving it forward. So men have to be part of that conversation. I mean, I have a wife, 2 daughters, and a mother and sister, and you know, men are involved with women, you know, throughout our lives. But there is that problem of violence, and women do have to deal with fear in a level that men don't understand because we don't deal with it. Unless we showed up in a penitentiary in a dress, we would not experience what women do every day.
I think what Jimmy was trying to say was not necessarily that men should not participate, but that men should not try to bark up, chime in, etc. Just shut up, sit back, and listen. You're not a woman. Listen to what women go through every single day, and then actually try to learn from your peers on this planet, and then change not only your behavior, but the behavior of men around you. I think that's what Jimmy was going after. In that regard, I agree with
him
100%.
Ladies and gentlemen, mark today on your calendar, because Mr. McAllister has my back.
Thank you.
No, I have your back, too. And you know what it is? I believe that men have to be involved in the conversation, but typically men, we try to fix things.
Right, and I'm saying this isn't a situation we can fix. This situation, we can fix among each other, and we do. Yeah. Quiet is kept. Well, we do.
Well, let
we
me
do.
Ask this, though, about Rick, because Rick has, because some man is in the biz. I mean, one of the conversations that we just had with Arthur Chu, who was saying, who was talking about this whole, you know, Revenge of the Nerds narratives, and there can be something about that that can be actually kind of uglier than sometimes we even want to acknowledge that it is. And if he highlighted a particular scene. Can I just get your take on this idea?
Well,
you know, I don't know that anybody's saying movies cause people to kill people. I mean, I think that, but this whole idea that we make it kind of okay by what we put out there. What do you say?
I think a lot of times what we're talking about, I think, is that men are the ones controlling what's happening in film. And it's mostly white men. It's mostly white men in their 20s. And that's not me. It's the Writers Guild of America statistic. And it's not just the Writers Guild of America. I call it the whitest guild of America. And so, you know, it's true. And so when you look at it and I go, and I'm a member of the Writers Guild. But the statistics are against the minorities and people of color and women. And because of it, the people that are telling this story happen to be the so-called nerds. And that's their fantasy a lot of times of the nerd's going to get the woman. I mean, I'm on the opposite side. I had a horrible SAT scores and bad grades, and I got women because women are just kind. So I had no revenge at all. And being Latino, I noticed he did shoot some Latino, and we have the stereotype of we're the Latin lovers. Hmm. And a big part of it is in our culture, we really listen to women. You know, as part of we worship women. I'm speaking for my culture right now. So.
I have a problem with this narrative for any number of reasons. I mean, because the nerd has been getting the woman since Cyrano de Bergerac. So, I mean, to throw the creative under the bus, it doesn't seem right to me. I'm sorry.
Can Corey jump in here? Corey Day, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah. No, yes, I would. As a father of a daughter who's, has to raise a daughter, I'm definitely willing to weigh in here. I think, you know, what I heard in what Arthur Chu was saying and Elliot Rodger is a parallel to what we hear from women who are tired of being rejected by men, the resentment and anger that build up in women. The difference is women don't turn into mass killers targeting men or anyone else as a result of that. And I think the difference is America has a culture of violence against women that it still is grappling with. I mean, 43% of college-age men admit to having used force to have sex with women and yet don't even recognize it as force. Okay, so let's start there. We need to do a better job of teaching men to deal with rejection from women in a healthy way. But this is the thing that's interesting. When we have these mass shootings, we tend to look for something unique about the mass shooter to explain their behavior. The Alabama college professor who went on a rampage in 2010 was said to be motivated by revenge for being denied tenure. The guy who shot Gabby Giffords and others in Arizona in 2011 was said to be motivated by right-wing political demagoguery. The truth is, with all
it
these
people... It wasn't
right-wing,
Corey. It wasn't right-wing, actually.
They just let me finish.
So hold on.
Of course it wasn't.
That's not true.
Okay.
Of course it wasn't. That's exactly my point, Lenny. The truth of the matter is the commonality between all these shooters is anger, resentment, and more than anything else, mental illness. So let's sort of put to the side the societal sort of discourse about rape culture and about violence against women and deal with the mentally ill in an effective way, which is to say, how do we create a more effective legal recourse for parents, for loved ones, to actually stop their mentally ill relatives from doing this?
This isn't about just mental illness, though. This is also about entitlement.
I didn't say about. It is
I'm not
about
saying
mental
you,
illness
I'm not saying you,
first
I'm,
and foremost.
I'm piggybacking
ahead,
on what
Lenny.
You said, Corey. I'm not striking what you're saying. I'm piggybacking on it. It's not just about that. Although there is obviously a component to mental illness that is involved here that we have to address. A lot of this, though, is entitlement. This individual that committed this heinous crime last week was also somebody from a privileged background who sat there and told himself, I have the money, I'm from a privileged background, I should be able to get these things. And again, now when you start talking about entitlement, you talk about accomplishing things, not forming relationships, being peers, having healthy relationships.
Mental illness gloms onto any cultural idiom, okay? Whether it's entitlement or this case, or racial animus in another case, or anti-gay bias in a still other case. Any sort of cultural bias can be something that foments mental illness. Mental illness is at the core of this.
But it doesn't mean that it has to. Every single thing that you think wrong is not a mental illness.
What's your take on what should happen now, Lenny?
He was in therapy.
This goes back to This goes back to what Jimmy said. This is about parenting. This is about how we treat each other in our society, and it starts in the home.
I don't know. His parents seem to have been working very hard to get him some help. I mean,
but he also had mental illness issues.
And he had a therapist.
And that's where the mental illness comes into play. But generally speaking, sometimes you got to take your boys aside as a father to a 14, 15-year-old boy like I do with my 14-year-old and remind him, hey, remember how you were holding the door open for your mom and your sister and this? That is somebody's mother, future mother. That's somebody's sister right now, and you need to treat her a particular way. And if you're not doing it at 14, why in the world do we think it's going to make any difference at 22 to 24 years old?
Well, you have to teach. I mean, I do it with my son, too. The difference between him and his sisters and explaining things to him of how to treat his sisters, how to treat women differently, the whole thing. I mean, it's you have to teach early on. But I don't think Elliot Rodgers had bad parents. And also, he had a therapist. And he had six cops that came to visit him to check him out.
Seven
cops. Okay.
But
seven.
I think why are these trained mental health professionals? I mean, it just seems that there's a lot to say here about how you could respond to these situations.
And Michelle,
that goes back to my point. Why isn't a social worker or a psychiatrist a part of that kind of SWAT team? Why don't we have mental health SWAT teams?
Yeah.
It seems like we almost meet force with force as opposed to using everything we know about mental health. I mean, why wasn't a social worker
people,
a part of that
people
crew?
People actually, it's interesting, Michelle, you mentioned that, because people actually end up having to resort to the police as an end run around getting their mentally ill loved ones committed by force, because it's so difficult to have that done, especially when you're dealing with an adult, someone who's older than 18. So they often have to go to the police to see if they can get a psychiatric hold, which is what the parents of Elliot Rodgers tried to get done.
Well, six police aren't therapists. That's the truth.
Well, obviously there's a lot to talk about, and obviously people have a lot on their minds, and I'm glad I get a chance to get your take on it from all of you. I do want to switch gears just for the time we have left, and if you're just joining us, we're having our weekly Barbershop Roundtable with writer Jimmy Israel, film writer and producer Rick Nahara, journalist Corey Dade, and Republican strategist and talk show host Lenny McAllister. Jimmy, where do you want to go next? Do you want to talk about the NBA playoffs, or do you want to talk about Dr. Dre? We only have about 4 minutes left. Where do you want to go?
We could talk about Dr. Dre.
Let's talk about Dr. Dre, and we'll just do a quick round. I'll get your take at the end on who you want to win. So Apple is set to buy Beats Electronics for $3 billion. That would reportedly make the 49-year-old producer, rapper, and businessman Dr. Dre the first hip-hop billionaire. So I just want to thoughts. I don't know. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, happy? Obviously,
he's happy for him.
Go ahead, Rick. Really happy for him.
Yeah. Why doesn't he invite us over for a party?
Yeah.
Finally, it's good that someone finally made the money, and it makes sense. You're going to make the money behind the scenes. You're going to make the money as a producer, where rather than releasing one album at a time, you can release 10 at a time and then build your way up in the business world. This makes all the sense in the world to me, and kudos to him.
Kudos to him.
Yeah.
Does anybody think it's lame?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's lame. I think it's important to note that he's not making the billion off of his music. He's making the billion off of his brand, which reinforces to me the fact that hip-hop is now a highly marketable, legitimate, bankable brand. And now maybe, he has enough time to get that Detox album out. Come on, Dr. Dre.
All right. Well, indulge me a little bit on the playoffs then, all right? So, guess what? I have the mic. I want to talk about the playoffs. Last night, the San Antonio Spurs beat down the Oklahoma City Thunder in game 5 of the NBA playoffs. The Spurs came out on top, but Kevin Durant of OKC says they're not giving up that easy. Let's want to play it. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. It's been an up and down series, but we got to figure out a way to, come with it in game 6. If we want to get to where we want to get to, we got to win in San Antonio. But we got to focus on the next game.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right, Jimmy. Who do you like?
I'm from Cleveland. I'm only even vaguely aware of this game of balls and baskets that you speak of. I'm gonna have to bow out. I've heard rumors of it, but I'm still researching, buffering.
Yeah, all right, Corey. I'm in LA with the Lakers,
okay,
so I can't deal with this at all.
Bow out. Oh, come on, man. No, what? All right, Corey, help me out here, man.
I'm looking for, first of all, this series is just crazy. The Spurs, Oklahoma City, it's like two heavyweights, it's throwing haymakers, unable to stop each other. It's like a Rocky movie, a good one, one of the early good ones, but I'm actually rooting for the battle of MVPs in the finals. Heat versus Thunder, LeBron versus KD. No offense to the Spurs, but they're just boring. They're just boring. So if you're gonna be champions, at least give us some swag, a little flair to it.
Exactly. That's kind of
Do you think four NBA championships is not swag? I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, 2005. That's not swag.
That's excellence.
You know, we're used to that here in Pittsburgh with six Super Bowl championships. We know about what real swag is, which is why you're going to see the Spurs and the Heat in a rematch. And if it wasn't for Ray Allen hitting a fluke shot in the corner after the ball bounced, the way the Spurs would have had a championship last year, too. So it would be very interesting.
Hey, man, I'm greedy.
Rematch.
I want swag and excellence. There you go.
Lenny, who do you like?
The Miami Heat.
Who do you
It's going to end up being the Spurs in seven, if not in six, and it's going to be the Heat. And it's going to probably be Spurs Heat going seven games again.
And who do you think for the outcome? Who do you like for the championship?
It's going to be the best small forward in the history of the NBA taking the MVP once again. That's LeBron James.
Okay. Anybody else co-sign that? Corey, what do you think?
Yeah. LeBron James?
I don't co-sign on LeBron being a small forward because he plays all four positions. The best one to do it since Magic. He'll be going. He'll go down as MVP if they win, for sure.
Okay. Rick, what do you think?
I agree with him, and I'm still thinking about Dr. Dre, and I'm so happy for him. I'm just so happy. I hope he calls me.
I hope he calls you. I know. I hope he calls you, too. I hope he calls you, too.
That's all I want. Dr. Dre, call me. Doctor's in. I need help here.
Okay. Rick Nahara is a writer, actor, and producer. He joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Lenny McAllister is a Republican strategist and host of Get Right with Lenny McAllister on KDKA News Radio, although he was with us from member station WQED, which is in Pittsburgh. Corey Date is a contributing editor for The Root. He was with us from Philadelphia. And Jimmy Israel is a writer. You can find his blog at jimmyisrael.com. He was with us today from member station WUKY, which is in Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you all so much.
God bless you all.
Yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.